Welcome back to the Unbox Broadcast. Today, Dr. Davis and I will discuss four ways that leaders can work on emotional maturity. We're ready to dive in. We're excited you're here. So stick around as we help you unbox the power and potential of your leadership.
I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox to Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leader's peer support community called Unbox to Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
Welcome back, one and all, wherever in the world you may be. I'm R.P. Soriano, and with me once again is Dr. Robert Davis, relationship and what else are you? You're a relationship expert. You're the author of Unbox to Lead, the 12 steps to becoming an unboxed leader. I am fumbling all through this, so I'm going to wrap up what I'm saying right now and just turn it over to Robert. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, man. And I love when you introduce me as a relationship expert, because I say, man, I hope that no one ever asks my wife. Is this guy really a relationship expert? Yeah, not if you live with him. But you know what? That's something we're probably going to need to talk about today, isn't it?
Exactly. That's quite a glaring red flag that we need to address. At any rate, we're glad that you're joining us today. We want to remind everyone to please like, share, and subscribe this broadcast to your friends. They probably won't be your friends anymore after you do that, but it will really help us out a lot if you send it over to them. Be sure to visit our website, www.unboxtolead.com, where you can learn more about the things that we do. You can sign up for our newsletter. There are a lot of offers and opportunities and free things that we are starting to roll out, so you can take advantage of them, and you can find it all there on our website. So today, Dr. Davis, we are talking about one of my favorite subjects here, and that is emotional maturity. And of course, I say favorite with a little hint of sarcasm, but emotional maturity is what we are talking about today. We're specifically dealing with four ways that leaders can work on their emotional maturity. So if you don't have anything else you want to add to that introduction, I want to dive right in and ask, how do we define emotional maturity?
Yeah. And I try not to define emotional maturity. I think it's more helpful if we describe emotional maturity.
Okay. Let's ask you that question over. How do you describe emotional maturity?
No, and that's and I'm glad that you asked me how do we define, because that gives me an opportunity to set the framework. And so when we talk about describing emotional maturity, we're talking about what does an individual look like when they are emotionally mature. And the reason I said describe versus define is because with a description, you can begin to kind of see where you are on the spectrum, and it helps to identify areas of strength as well as areas of growth. Right. So let's talk about some of the things that define or describes. Here I go. Let's talk about some of the things that describes emotional maturity. Number one is the ability to be in close or strong or intense relationships and to be able to maintain your own identity, to be a part of and yet separate from simultaneously, so that you're connected but yet maintaining your own individuality. That is a very challenging thing. We often take on the personality, the principles, the morals, the characteristics of the relationship systems or relationship groups that we are a part of. And so when an individual can have their own unique identity, but still remain, because you know, one thing is, one sign of immaturity is the ability to be in tense, strong, close relationships, without either losing your identity or just distancing and removing yourself. So the ability to be able to stay connected and be able to stay yourself. Another thing is the ability to have control over your emotions. You have control over them and not someone else. You know, too often we hear people say things like, you know, you made me angry, or she made me upset, or he made me sad, or whatever may be, you know, the descriptions, but we ascribe our emotions to someone else. And an emotionally mature leader has control over their emotions. So what does that mean? That means that when the person that we have labeled or described as a jerk enters into the room, they are not able to change our emotions. I have seen this so many times where, and I've even experienced, so I've experienced it as well as seen it, which is where I'm having the time of my life, smiling, laughing, doing well. And then someone that I'm in a very difficult relationship with walks into the room and my entire mood changes. I go from smiling and being happy from, you know, whatever, to now I have a total different emotion, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether it's frustration, annoyance, whatever it may be. And that is a lot of control to give to another person. So if I was going to say it another way or describe it another way, I would say that leaders have the ability to remain in control of their emotions. And then another thing is that leaders, emotional maturity is the ability to recognize your anxiety. And you know, when we use anxiety as a catch-all phrase for those counterproductive emotions, those emotions that if not handled correctly, end up creating counterproductive behaviors. So being able to identify those emotions and then being able to develop strategies to function better when those emotions arise. And last but not least, hinged onto that is, and there's more, but I'm gonna stop here. And that is the ability to control your emotions so that they have less of an impact on the entire group. In other words, the ability not to spread your anxiety to everyone. It's kind of like, I get sick, but I don't make everybody else sick. And that's that. Those are some of the descriptions of what it means. And so now I can begin to kind of judge or begin to evaluate. So kind of question is, when I am upset, how much does my anxiety spread to other people? You know, kind of thing to think about. Or how well do I do when I'm in close or intense relationships at being able to maintain my own identity? I can almost kind of like, you know, develop some kind of a Likert scale where I look at it and say on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, kind of where am I at? I can grade myself, kind of figure out where I can improve, what I need to work on. And that's why, again, I said description versus definition. And so I kind of went on a little while here, but I did that intentionally because I want to make sure that our listeners and viewers are able to get an understanding of what we mean when we say emotional maturity.
Yeah, and that's a good description of how we define, or how, I'm sorry, of how we describe emotional maturity from the perspective of the behaviors or what you're able to do or not able to do. A lot of times in leadership settings and leadership trainings, you constantly hear about emotional intelligence. That is usually the general catch-all phrase. Is this, you really describe something I would say almost different from how I understand emotional intelligence. So they're clearly different. Can you kind of describe the difference there?
Yeah. So there are a lot of similarities between emotional intelligence and emotional maturity. Another term for emotional maturity is differentiation. And that's just kind of, you know, the term that's used to describe how cells are all together to form a particular organ or whatever it may be. And yet each individual cell has its own unique individual identity. We call that differentiation. When we talk about emotional maturity, we're talking about those things that I just described previously. And while there are a lot of similarities and even overlapping between the two, emotional intelligence is generally understood as the ability to understand other people's emotions, being able to read a room, being able to ingratiate ourselves to others, that, you know, somewhat of that it factor. I know, again, I use certain politicians simply because they're easy references, not making any kind of endorsements, but they talk about how Bill Clinton kind of had that it factor. He could walk in a room and immediately you already knew who the leader was. When he walked in a room, people just kind of brightened up. He could remember everyone's name. He made people just feel good about themselves when he would interact with them. And I have talked to maybe about 20 people. I've never met him personally, but I've talked to at least 20 people that have personally met Bill Clinton. Many of them only met him one time, and they are always amazed at how he knew their name before they were even introduced to him. Like, how does Mr. President know my name? And he's just walking through the line shaking my hand. I mean, just an unbelievable talent and gift that he had or has. And so a lot of times we think about that as emotional intelligence. But on the flip side, and I'll use him as an example, there were certain difficulties that he had in managing intimate relationships that would be an indicator of some need for emotional maturity. So we see in Bill Clinton, a really good example, like I said, I'm not endorsing nor am I criticizing any politician. That's not the purpose of this show. But I think he has a good case study.
And everybody pretty much alive knows who you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's the reason
why. You don't have to really think too much about this. If they can be emotionally mature and get past whatever emotion, good or bad, that they have, I mean, just understand that we're making a reference or describing this, then you'll get the point.
Yeah. So we see in Bill, very good. Thank you. We see in President Clinton, an individual who was strong on the emotional intelligence scale. But when it came to emotional maturity, there are some glaring signs of need for growth. And I don't know where he is today. We are talking about the Bill Clinton of 1988 through 96, 2000 or whenever. So we are talking about that Bill Clinton, but right. You know, we see there a difference between emotional intelligence and emotional. And again, there's a lot of overlapping. So I'm not trying to say that they're mutually exclusive, but when we really think about it, that's the essential difference in how that terminology is used.
Okay. So what are we looking at? I know we also wanted to address something regarding symptom relief versus emotional maturity. Is that already addressed or?
No, and I put that. I'm glad that you're sticking to the notes. And I apologize. I threw this in at the last minute, so I know you're thinking to yourself, "What is it that this man put into the notes?" But I kind of wanted to talk about emotional maturity versus symptom relief. Because oftentimes what happens is there are a series of symptoms that we are experiencing. And this is very much a part of leadership and organizational leadership. So personal leadership and organizational leadership and family leadership, which have so much overlapping and are so intertwined, that when crises and situations arise, what we're looking for is the relief of symptoms. The relief from the feelings that are often associated. And when those are relieved, it is believed that the problem has been solved. And anyone who is a clinical therapist, I'm not a licensed therapist. I do have training and certification in pastoral counseling, but I'm not a licensed therapist. And basically what a pastoral counselor is you have enough knowledge to effectively know how to refer people to someone who's actually trained. that's what a pastoral counselor is. I know just enough to know that I don't know enough to do stuff. So I know I need to refer someone.
Yeah.
But even with that, when people come to the pastor, when people come to a therapist, they have a list of problems that are really plaguing them. And when the counselor or the therapist listens and kind of helps them to come up with some immediate relief, which is very essential in the therapeutic process and relationship, then they feel that they've overcome and that everything is fine. And that is typically when therapists see people withdrawing from therapy, is when there is a slight relief when there's a slight relief in the symptoms. And so one of the things I want to just share very briefly is that a lot of our leadership training, I kind of want to show the difference of what we do at Unboxed. A lot of leadership training, and I was in a leadership training today that talked about these other types of leadership trainings. A lot of leadership training is really focused on symptom relief, not on emotional maturity. Because emotional maturity is a process, it's long-term, it's about growth, it's not just about feeling better, it's about being better, doing better. And so the presenter was talking about how when he was a younger person working for this particular corporation, they had a consultants to come in, and he talks about how they had them writing out their emotions on these boards and then chopping the boards to get rid of their negative emotions. And they did a lot of fun activities, blindfolding people and spinning them around and, you know, which one of your team members is really there for you. Really good stuff that when you bring them in, especially those facilitators and whatnot that are really good, you leave there laughing and happy and excited, but that's not emotional maturity. That's not growth. That is just symptom relief. We were all tense. We were all upset with each other. We brought in a consultant, has a wonderful sense of humor, knows a lot of team building activities, knows how to execute them well, has great emotional intelligence and knows how to connect with people in our group really well, and everyone feels good. But then what do you see? A few weeks later, if not a day or so later, you're right back. A lot of what we call conflict resolution is just that as well, about symptom relief. And then we're right back to where we are. Emotional maturity is about a long-term process where the leader looks and tries to figure out how does he or she become their best and function their best in any and every relationship system that they are a part of, whether that's home, whether that's work, whether that's their extended family, whether that's their church family, organizations that they volunteer for, wherever it may be, they show up as their best. Now, that is a much longer process. It's a much more frustrating process, but it is an unboxing process. And that's what we try to do in leading leaders forward at Unboxed Lead.
Yeah, and I think another example of that is just if you go to see your doctor and you're having, heart issues, they can prescribe you the medication to help you with some of the symptoms. But ultimately, it's going to require a real lifestyle change in order to actually solve the problem. So you can get the symptom addressed and you can feel better, but ultimately you've got to make the hard choices and changes. That's where the work comes in. Yeah. I even remember having a conversation with someone about that very thing. I was explaining to this individual why I was so adamant about being healthy and trying not to eat certain things or drink certain things, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember he looked at me and said, "Why don't you just get a pill, take pills like I do." And I thought, that's exactly what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want to just run my body into the ground just so that I can be prescribed a medication. That's not, I would rather do the hard work up front so that I can enjoy it on the back end instead of just popping pills. But I think that tends to be, like you said, it's easier to try to find this quick fix to deal with the symptoms than to actually get in there and start rewiring. So,
Double-edged sword, Raphael, if I could just jump in here real quick. That's kind of like the double-edged sword in that with pharmacology, as well as with therapy, as well as with leadership development. And that is, you have to deal with the symptoms. I mean, if someone comes into your office and their blood pressure is through the roof, you have to give them something that's going to lower their blood pressure.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, too many people, they say, "Hey, man, where can I get some more of those? Write me a prescription because I feel so much better with those pills," rather than, as you said, doing the lifestyle change. And that's also, with reality. "Hey, man, I'm dealing with sabotage among my group. We need to get, we need to get certain things accomplished. They're fighting me at every single turn. How can I get us all on the same page?" And then the consultant or the therapist comes in, says, "Hey, these are some of the strategies that are effective, things that you can do." They implement them. The project gets done. The team is doing well. They may move on to another business, another feather in their cap, a notch on their six shooter, whatever it may be. And they haven't really dealt with the underlying issues of, what leaders contribute to sabotage and how leaders create the environment and what is the the areas of growth in their leadership that is contributing to the quote unquote dysfunctional or counterproductive behaviors right. that they're seeing, because they're seeing those same things at home, at the workplace, and other relationship systems they're a part of, and really getting a clear understanding about that. And that's why what you need is someone who can help with this. And this is where Unbox the Lead coaching comes in. Let's talk about that immediate relief. And then let's also develop a long-term plan. And those yeah. are the best doctors that I've seen. The doctors.
So we can be your ER doctor. Yes. We can triage. We can deal with the symptoms. And then you will follow up with your they call them GPs here in Singapore. So I forgot. What do you call your regular doctor?
Family general practitioners, family yeah. doctors.
So you'll and we will be both. We could be your ER doctor and your GP, so that we can patch you up, deal with the symptoms, but then deal with the long-term stuff. So, all right. Well, I think that's a good place for us to leave the show for today. I think we've covered some really good ground here with describing what emotional maturity is, understanding the difference between emotional maturity and emotional intelligence, where the overlap is, where the similarities are, but where that distinction is. You also talked about these, well, you, like I said, you, four ways you described emotional maturity, the difference between that and emotional intelligence, and how Unbox focuses on developing emotionally mature leaders. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll come back in our next show and we'll talk about what started us on our journey to emotional maturity. And I don't know how long that show will be, but we'll just say that will be what the entire show will be about. And if we can move any further into that, we will. But the next show will be, Robert and I will discuss our own personal journey on emotional intelligence or emotional maturity and what got us started down that path. So we'll leave it at that. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Our executive producer is Bobby Davis Jr., marketing and promotion by John Sedano. All of our video editing and all the other fancy stuff you see is provided by Damon Mace. For Dr. Robert Davis, I'm RP Soriano. Again, we'd like to thank you for being a part of the Unboxed broadcast. Be sure to visit our website, www.unboxtolead.com, where you can learn more. Join us for our next show, where we'll help you unbox the power and potential of your leadership. Thank you.
Unbox provides a full-service leaders peer support community that helps high-level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number 2, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number 2, to lead.com.